is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here today. Matt Hill, Executive Director of the Douglas Timber Operators. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Kyle, for having me.
So, we haven't talked to you in a while. Kind of give folks an overall update on the whole COVID-19 situation. Well, actually, well, let's get to that part in a minute, but talk about just how Douglas Timber Operators is doing overall.
So we're doing great. We have more members than ever before, and we're an organization that supports multiple use forest management on public and private lands. We're composed of mills, loggers, truckers, landowners, and just ordinary citizens and businesses that support the timber economy here in Southwest Oregon. So we're doing great. People are more interested and more supportive of this part of the economy than ever.
And how many members do you have these days?
We're around 200 members, ranging, like I said, from mills to just everyday people that aren't directly connected to the industry.
And for some of those members, they've probably been around for a long time.
A very long time. And in fact, we were going through the drawers at the DTO office the other day and found a handwritten list of some of the original shareholders of the company. It used to be a radio network between timber operators out in the woods, and most of those companies are still kicking it. They're family-owned businesses still in operation today.
Now, if people maybe are newer and not as familiar with you, kind of talk about your background and what you've done and then how you ended up leading DTO.
Yeah, I was born in Glide, raised in Roseburg, graduated from Roseburg High School, and then went back east for college, and then worked in the Senate for Oregon Senator Gordon Smith for 10 years, handling natural resources and tribal issues. And then after his departure from Congress in 2008, I worked in the private sector, on still working on some timber issues, and then a couple years ago, DTO reached out to me and asked if I'd be willing to come back. And it's been a long path home, but we're finally here permanently.
And I know for quite a while you were back and forth a lot.
Yeah, which couldn't happen as easily these days. But for a couple years, got a lot of frequent flyer miles between Roseburg and Washington D.C.
So, are you still going back to D.C. periodically, though?
Normally, I would. Right now, with COVID out there, I don't know how frequently I'll be getting back for the near term, which is just fine because the weather is pretty amazing here in Roseburg.
And I didn't look, but Washington, D.C. in July tends to get a little hot and muggy.
Hot and muggy with occasional and oppressive rain showers.
Yeah, boy, I remember some of those from a trip back there. What kind of challenges has the industry of DTO members faced during this pandemic?
It's been significant. It's been a roller coaster. You know, prior to COVID really impacting the United States, the forest products industry in general was really facing a major floating of the economy and responding to that, which was really well needed. The biggest growth in demand since the 2008 recession. And then COVID hit right as things were getting off the ground. It impacted demand. It shut down housing starts in California and the upper Midwest, which is where a lot of Douglas County forest products go. That has changed. It's improving. And I think everyone's breathing a sigh of relief. So in terms of our industry here, things are on the mend. Things are looking good. If you listen to the radio, you hear all these companies advertising for jobs. So things are looking good.
And just like a lot of other sectors of the economy, whether it's for mills or other places, a lot of things where they had to make a pretty decent sized investment just to cope with needed things for the COVID-19 requirements.
Yeah, there are some things that had to be adjusted, particularly in mills, just to make sure that appropriate distancing and sanitation protocols are in place. But if you go out in the woods, I mean, that's logging and trucking is kind of the original social distance professions, so they're able to accomplish that fairly easily. I've been out there a couple times, and the operations are going strong, and it looks like it did.
Well, it's interesting as well, you know, when you talk about housing, and we've seen different aspects to that around here. Of course, in Douglas County, there's still really a shortage of a lot of price points of the homes. And so while there was an initial fear in March that housing prices would go down a lot of places, at least here, they really haven't been impacted.
Well, it's an interesting confluence of factors. I mean, you have serious threats to the economy, to certain sectors of jobs and income. At the same time, you have, you know, record low mortgage rates, and so the number of refis and home sales are actually doing quite well. Housing starts are a different situation. You know, huge drops between March and now, and those are beginning to move again. Hopefully for a sustained period of time. But certainly for affordable housing, you need affordable housing. Two by fours and trusses and roofing materials. So we need to keep producing those things, producing them here and locally.
Now, I don't know if this would have helped things out at all. One of the things we've noticed here and nationally is that a lot of people are spending more time at home, and that has been a big uptick in projects. And for people who were in an okay financial situation, and if they had to work from home, suddenly the thing in the backyard that maybe you'd been thinking about doing was a lot more obvious when you were staring at it all day versus just in the evening or on the weekend. Have some of those projects that people are doing, have that helped, or is that really a different sector of some of the folks you deal with?
Yeah, each product made in the mills here, you know, has its own unique supply and demand curves, and you know, certainly COVID kind of increased demand for you know, kind of hobby level 2x4s. You know, people go into the hardware store to do a project at home, maybe decking materials, put some new deck boards out there, a new railing or something like that. So those types of things stood steady. But for some of the other building materials that are specifically used by professionals for home building, those were certainly impacted. But either way, I mean, this industry was deemed essential by the federal government. We know it's a critical part of the economy, and I think that, you know, going forward, you know, we really have to look at that as a driving force, certainly here in Oregon.
What about some of the goals for Douglas timber operators currently, maybe for the next year or whatever?
I think particularly in light of COVID and coming out of it, which hopefully we continue to do, we want to make sure that there's a steady flow of timber coming so that, you know, if there's a full return to the market influx of housing demand, that we're ready for it and that the logs are there in the supply chain. And so we're encouraging the federal agencies, BLM and Forest Service here locally, to make sure they're continuing to keep those timber sales coming. Certainly private landowners are doing the same thing, and so that our supply is ready to meet demand.
We've been hearing about the hotter weather overall expected this summer. We haven't seen too much of that, but we've certainly had a few hot days already, and we're in the 80s for the next week or so, it looks like. What about the fire danger aspect? And you have all these parcels of land that are kind of weaved together, and sometimes fires start and they affect multiple companies, multiple federal, state agencies, and others. What's the concern level about the fire projections for the summer?
Well, certainly fire is always a concern in Southwest Oregon. You've got hotter, drier weather than other parts of the state, coupled with huge fuel loads out there in the forest. And on top of that, you've got a checkerboard land ownership pattern where BLM owns every other square mile of land in vast swaths of Western Oregon. And so the jurisdictional issues of how to fight fires there are tricky. And for 100 years, the Oregon Department of Forestry, DFPA, other fire protective associations has seamlessly managed that. There's some disagreements with BLM about that now, and we're trying to work those out to make sure that we have a firefighting force out there that can respond to any situation.
And oftentimes, if you go a year or two up the road from a larger fire like the Glendale area fire several years ago, you can go through those areas. DTO's led some tours along the way, and you can see the big difference in what was done after based on what the ownership wanted to do, whether it was public or private.
Absolutely. On private, on tribal lands, dead burned trees are removed to reduce future fire risk. Any value salvaged out of those, and then the new trees are put in the ground pretty quickly. On federal land, it's a little different situation. A lot of that dead fuel is left there. It often reburns, and many of the fires we've seen in Southwest Oregon, Biscuit, Silver, Chetco Bar, Miles, Klondike, all of these reburned areas that had burned in the past and where that fuel is left. And so it changes, it exacerbates fire behavior. And that's definitely a problem that has to be addressed.
Matt Hill, Executive Director of the Douglas Timber Operators. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Matt Hill, Executive Director of the Douglas Timber Operators, talking about timber policy and the aftermath of some of the fires just ahead of the break. One of the things that I've wondered about, because the federal government, and as we've done a lot of different interviews with members of Congress and folks here on the state and local level, so much of what the nation is having to do is really put a fire out, bad pun, but I mean, deal with the big situation, the COVID-19. So does that take like natural resource issues, some of the things that DTO and other related groups maybe try to lobby for normally? Is a lot of that stuff gotten pushed to the side or off the plate altogether of what Congress is looking at?
Not necessarily, and in some cases it's the opposite. I mean, with COVID impacts on firefighting forces, for example, there's actually more emphasis on what federal agencies are doing to protect forests and communities. This summer, they're worried about COVID on fire crews and bringing in more Type 1 helicopters from companies here in Oregon like Columbia and Ericsson and others. And also looking at the impacts of COVID on some of these industries. Senator Wyden has legislation that deals with timber industry, with outfitters like rafters and fishing guides and those types of things, and trying to figure out how to keep elements of this economy moving, which Congress needs because they need someone paying taxes to pay some of the bills for some of the other programs. In terms of what we're asking for and lobbying, so much of that anymore is in the courts. Congress isn't making any huge gestures in terms of changing how our forests should be managed for forest products. And here in Southwest Oregon, the ONC management issue is the big question, and we're nearing the end of litigation in that, where the court has found that the BLM needs to be doing more to meet its original 1937 statutory obligation.
And with that going on, with the current presidential administration, what do you feel like, has there been a shift, or does it take a while before you really see the difference once a new administration, we say new now, here we are coming up to an election year, election fall, but what have the changes been?
Well, the ship of state turns very slowly on some issues, and this is one of them. The current administration has not really changed much in terms of appropriations priorities. We've had Congress fighting to protect BLM Forest Service timber budgets. The BLM just recently announced some proposed changes on its process for timber sale projects. But again, the big question is before the courts. And if the counties and the industry win that litigation, it'll remand it back to the agency to come up with a new way to manage those lands. And when that happens, depending on who's president, there'll probably be a big difference on how those agencies and how quick on the ground.
Now, do you have a level of concern when you have a presidential election? You don't know. Polls go back and forth. They can swing wildly this time of year, especially with all the emotional intensity of a lot of other issues that are being looked at. But do you kind of watch November and wonder what might that do to what you're trying to achieve?
I would definitely watch it. It brings a level of uncertainty to all of this in terms of timing. It'll make, and I hope both presidential candidates talk about what to do on forestry policy. These are blue-collar jobs here in Oregon and all throughout the country, in all 50 states, and particularly in rural counties. And it puts bread on the table and supports families. And I want to know, what they view, not just on fire, but on sustainable forest products production, timber production. That's as important to this area as any other political issue.
With the two major candidates both being from the East Coast, does that impact that discussion at all in terms of the way they look at the nation as a whole?
I don't know. Oregon's probably not, a major battlefield state. They usually dabble in it out here, and they certainly, want support from folks here. But I hope they pay attention to it. And like I said, it is a national issue. It's not just out here in Oregon. But certainly they'll think about it. It certainly was back in the Clinton administration when a lot of blue-collar Democrats were from the mills and loggers and truckers. So I hope for it. And same with our congressional delegation. Both Republicans and Democrats in Oregon have to pay attention to it. There's 60,000 people directly employed in this industry in the state. It's still a significant force.
And, we've been doing this little promotion with Douglas Timber Operators on the Morning Report, talking about sort of timber trivia and talking about different facts and going over some of the things that you put together for questions. Got me thinking today about how, you mentioned 60,000 jobs. A lot of people look at the timber industry as a whole as being a lot smaller player than 25, 30 years ago in southwestern Oregon. How do you view it?
Well, that's certainly true. I mean, we've closed 200 plus mills in Oregon in the 80s and 90s. We lost 30 to 40,000 jobs in the industry, so it doesn't look the same. On the flip side, those mills that survived reinvested in new technology. They're more efficient. They can produce more products safer. If you go look at logging operations, the technology there is changing. They can operate safely and more efficiently. So that the industry that's there, it doesn't look the same, but that's not always a bad thing. And it's still here in Douglas County, the largest private sector block of jobs. We've got about 5,500 direct jobs in the industry. But part of this trivia contest that we want to do is just kind of remind people of what we're doing, what's going on up there, some of the rules and regulations that we deal with and that we're proud of complying with. And we're proud of the results. If you go up in the woods and fish in the river or hike on the trails, we've got some of the most amazing resources out there. And I hope everyone gets to enjoy those and see how forestry and active forest management plays into that.
And also just the huge percentage, that was a question this morning, about land that's forested in the county.
Yeah, it's a big percentage. About 60% of it is federal, and the rest is private. These issues have a major impact on anyone, whether you're hiking or fishing or just breathing the air. Everyone's impacted by forest management, and especially here in Douglas County.
30 seconds to go. Final thoughts, just in terms of what you would say Douglas Timber Operators is putting a high priority this year.
Yeah, well, because of COVID, we shut down, our forest tours and our big tent, the fair. So we're just trying to find new ways to get the word out and encourage people to learn more about our products and our companies and the families that work in this industry here.
Matt Hill, Executive Director of Douglas Timber Operators. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
12:57 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.